And I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. And I want to come this morning to one of those great texts in the Bible that I'm sure all preachers feel just as I do about it. There are some verses in the Bible, of course, I stand in awe of all the Bible. This Word of God, what a miraculous, wonderful book it is. And I do mean it is a miracle book. But there are some great verses in the Bible that we preachers are almost too timid to even preach from because they're so profound, so deep, so wonderful, so non-exhaustible, we almost fear to preach from them. And I want to come to one of those great verses this morning, and I want the Lord to bless it to your heart in a wonderful way. I'm going to speak to you this morning on what we might call the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, people have come into this world in four different ways. Adam was created directly from the hand of God. His wife Eve was made of a rib taken from his side. That's two ways that people have come into this world. Then all the rest of humankind has come the same way. They've been born into this world of physical birth like you and I have. But there's yet one other way, and that's the greatest miracle the world has ever known anything about. And that is with no man involved. No man involved, for Christ is the seed of the woman and conceived of the Holy Ghost of God. That's the virgin birth. And that is a cardinal, foundational doctrine of all the great redemptive truth that's found in the Bible. And we want to talk to you about that this morning. Now let's read in Isaiah chapter 7, beginning the verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. I'm going to read on in just a moment, but I want you to understand what we're reading this morning. You've heard the names of kings, heathen kings, but God is speaking to a particular people. In verse 2, we read of the house of David. Then we have read of the kingdom of Judah. This means something. You see, the house of David involves the family from which our Lord, humanly speaking, came. He came from the Jewish nation of people. He came from the tribe of Judah. So the whole family of David, and particularly the tribe of Judah, is mentioned. Now let's read on. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Now sign, the word sign in the Bible is synonymous with the word miracle. There are four different types of signs or miracles in the Bible. So notice what it said. The Lord spake again, saying, Ask thee a sign or miracle of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And I want you to notice with me verse 14 this morning. One of the truly great verses of the Bible having to do with the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and his coming as a babe into the world to be the Savior of the world. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Now you know the Bible in the Old Testament predicted so many things accurately, of course, about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very place in which he would be born was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, the word of God says, And thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one whose goings forth have been from everlasting. So hundreds of years before Jesus was born, it was prophesied he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. There was more than one Bethlehem in the days when Jesus was born. So the Bible particularly set forth one little town nestled in the hills of Judea where our Lord would be born, and that was told hundreds of years before it came to pass. The time of the birth of our Lord is set forth in the Old Testament. Of course, we have not the time nor disposition to deal with that this morning. But you can take the book of Daniel and that which has to do with the 70 weeks or 70 periods of years that is set forth in Daniel. And you could arrive at the very year spoken of in Daniel when our Lord Jesus Christ would come hundreds of years after it was prophesied. But here in the book of Isaiah, you find the prophecy spoken 700 years or more before the Lord was born in Bethlehem of Judea. It is not speaking of the place. It is not speaking of the time. But it is speaking of the manner in which our Lord would be born. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. You know, Jesus was born in a manger, died upon a cross, and in between the two of those, he had no place to lay his head. Oh, the humility of our Lord to come into the world to be born in the midst of a poor family. I'm talking to you about the greatest miracle the world has ever known. There is no miracle. You take any miracle in the Bible, all miracles are great. They're significant. They're supernatural. But there is no miracle, no miracle like the miracle of the virgin birth. You say, preacher, why do you say that's the greatest miracle? Because the Bible says so. You see, Paul, in his writing to Timothy, said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. The fact that God could inflesh his deity and walk among men for 33 years is the greatest miracle the world has ever known. The Gospel of John says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You think of the miracle, the Ancient of Days, the everlasting Son of God becomes a child of history. Here our verse says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. A child is born, that's his humanity. A son is given, that is his deity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it is prophesied 700 years before he came that he would come born of a virgin, no man involved. You see, there is a progression, what we students of the Bible call a progression of truth and a fuller development of truth as you start in the beginning of the Bible and go through the Bible. You do not get far in the Bible. You get to chapter 3 of the book of Genesis and verse 15. When you read of and the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Not the seed of man, but the seed of the woman. For Christ was born without man being involved and was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost of God. But I want you to think with me this morning about what this verse says. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Now in verse 6 of chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah is a companion verse to this verse. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And notice now what our Lord is called 700 years before he was born. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now these four designations of our Lord tell us of what he came to do. First of all, the Bible said when he was born, he would be called Wonderful Counselor. I'm told by the students of the Hebrew language, there is no punctuation mark between the word wonderful and counselor. And so the Bible is saying when he would come born of a virgin, he would be called Wonderful Counselor. That means that the Lord would be infinite in wisdom. Oh, to think this morning about the wisdom of God as in our Lord Jesus Christ. When you read in the book of Matthew chapter 13, these seven great parables and their explanation about the kingdom of heaven, men listened to this person, a stranger to them. All of a sudden at the age of 30, he appears to John in the river Jordan and is baptized. Then he begins to speak and to preach and to perform miracles. He is a stranger to them. And when he unfolds all these great parables and this miraculous teaching, in fact, the Bible said, people said of him, never man spake like this man spake. And when he spoke in this manner, people said, whence hath this man this wisdom? Oh, the wisdom of the Son of God. Jesus himself said, the queen, speaking of the queen of Sheba, who came from a distant land, bringing her gifts to a king named Solomon. And when she got ready to leave, she said, the half has not been told. She heard his 3,000 proverbs. She heard of his 1,500 songs. And she said, the half has not been told about the wisdom of this man Solomon. But notice what Jesus said. The queen came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Why read of Jesus when he was at the age of 12? And the Bible says the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Just like the Bible said, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor because he is infinite in wisdom. Oh, I like that wonderful verse that says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? Thank God this morning, this virgin-born Son of God is infinite in his wisdom. I'm glad of that. I'm glad this morning that my Savior knows everything. He is the all-wise God, infinite in wisdom. He knows how to direct the lives of his children, those who love him, believe in him, and trust him. I read many years ago of the man caught away from home during the awful storm in the south. He did not know it, but the little bridge across he must go in the nighttime had been torn almost asunder. But in the darkness of the night, he walked across what he thought was the same bridge. But the next morning, it was revealed he'd walked merely across one rafter of that bridge, a little narrow point. And the next morning he said, thank God in the darkness of the night, the all-knowing God directed my footsteps. And thank God he does that. I thank God that our lives today, those of us who are saved, are in the hands of one who is infinitely wise and who knows everything. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor because he is infinite in wisdom. Notice secondly, he shall be called the Mighty God. This is because Jesus is infinite in power. You see, Jesus has all power. He made that known. He said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The Bible says he declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I think of the power of the words of Jesus. Jesus spoke and the dead came to life. Jesus spoke and the disease were made healthy. Jesus spoke and demons fled. and men were made clean. There is no power on this earth like the power of the Word of God and the Word of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the power of His presence. No power in this world like the power of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be called the Mighty God. And that's what He is. Jesus Christ, thank God, is the infinite in power one. He is the Mighty God this morning, who's able to save, able to keep, able to do anything. I read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, where the Apostle Paul is trying to express the power of God. And even under inspiration, it seems that he cannot express fully the power of God. He says, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand. You know, I thank God the Lord Jesus is not limited in His power. Sometimes people say to me, you know, I wonder if the Lord could save a person like that. And they describe such and such a person. Yes, thank God He can. He knows no loss of power when it comes to save. He saved a thief on a cross. No one expected that. He saved a woman who came to the well, who did not even come to be saved. He saved a religious man one night on the streets of Jerusalem. He saved a man so filled with demons, it took 2,000 head of hogs to hold them all when they were cast out. Thank God, He is the mighty God, infinite in power, able not only to save to the uttermost all those who come unto God by Him, but to keep and to satisfy and to answer prayer. He is infinite in power. Then the Bible predicted, not only would He be called Wonderful Counselor and the Mighty God, but He'd be called the Everlasting Father. Oh, what a precious word. Jesus would be called the Everlasting Father. You see, that's because He is infinite in love. Oh, I like the little chorus we sang this morning about He loves you and me. No greater truth in the world. So simple that sometimes it becomes overly familiar to believers in the Lord. But you know, He loves you this morning. He is infinite in love. No one can love like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is infinite in His love. He is called in the Bible the Everlasting Father. Thank God He is our Father this morning. You know, I heard a story years ago that took place at Christmas time. A little poor boy, it is said, received a little double-breasted overcoat. He was so proud of it. It is said that he put it on, and his father and he were taking a walk in the cold of Christmas season. And the father said, now I better hold your hand. And the little boy said, no, Daddy, these pockets are for hands. And he said, I can walk alone. And so they walked. But all of a sudden, the little boy slipped and fell and hurt himself. And when his father picked him up and brushed him off, he said to his dad, Dad, I think you better hold my hand till we get home. And thank God, that's the kind of Savior I have. I'm in His hand this morning. He is infinite in His love to you and to me. He said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I hear songs and people talking about take hold of the hands of God. But I know something better than that. The hand of God has taken hold of me because I believe. My hold on Him could be shaken. His hold on me, thank God, is unbreakable this morning. He is infinite in His love to me. Notice, lastly, the verse says He would be called the Everlasting Father and then the Prince of Peace. This means that the Lord Jesus is infinite in redemption. The Prince of Peace. I was studying this verse some years ago and thinking about it, and a newspaper lay close at hand. And on the front page of that newspaper, there was a count of four wars going on at the same time in some part of the world. But the Bible says He would be called the Prince of Peace. And thank God He is that. He can bring peace to a person's heart. He can bring peace to a family. And someday He'll bring peace to the world. The Prince of Peace is infinite in His redemption. When the angels came that night and began to speak, when the little babe, the Christ child, came into the world, the message of the angels was this: glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill on earth toward men. He is the Prince of Peace. I had heard a missionary years ago who was a missionary to the lepers. These poor lepers, some with fingers gone and toes gone and distorted facial features. And that missionary wept as she said she heard one of these lepers trying to sing one day through distorted features. And that leper was trying to sing the song, "There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar." Because the Lord had spoken peace to a poor leprous person and had saved them. You know, the Lord is infinite in redemption. He can speak peace to any heart. And if you were to say to me this morning, "What is man's greatest need?" I would have to say to you, it's to have the peace with God, and the peace of God in their heart and their life. Thank God He would be called the Wonderful Counselor, because He's infinite in wisdom, and the Mighty God, because He is infinite in power, and the Everlasting Father, because He's infinite in love, and the Prince of Peace, because He's infinite in redemption of those who trust Him. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Every head bowed and every heart lifted to God. And I want to ask you this morning to do what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to thank the Lord one more time while I'm in this body, one more time, that the Lord has been so good as to save my soul from sin. How I thank Him this morning. I could be the drunkard in the gutter. I could possibly already be in hell. I could be the man behind the prison bars. I could be in infamy and shame and disgrace this morning. But thank God, I'm a child of the King. I'm saved. I'm a member of the royal family of heaven. And I have heaven as my home. I'm thankful. That overflows me this morning. That thrills me to know that one as unworthy as I can be saved and all sins forgiven. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving us from our sins.